There was a story about a farmer who had a pet pig. Did I tell you this story before? Good. This is a good one. Okay. He had a pet pig, and matter of fact, he loved that pig so much he decided to make it part of his family. So he took it from the pig pen and brought it into the house, put it in the tub, scrubbed it, washed it, perfumed it. I don't know if you can put a bow in a pig's hair or head or not, but he spruced it up best he could, and he said to the pig, he said, "Now, pig, you're going to be part of our family now. We move you right into the house. Going to treat you like family." Matter of fact, they gave him the best room in the house and set the pig down, and they said, "Now, this house operates with some rules, principles, standards for everybody that lives in the house, and you'll be no exception, so you must listen closely to the rules." So the rules go something like this. The schedule is 6 o'clock every morning you have to take a shower. And then you're going to come down for breakfast about 7 and off to school or to work by 8. And you'll be away for most of the day doing your work or your school. And we'll have supper about 6 o'clock in the evening. And every day you have to clean your room. You have to keep it very tidy. But there's one rule over all of the other rules. You can't get in the mud. The mud is out. So, will the pig remember all the rules? Would he understand the rules? So in response, the pig said to the rules, "Oink." So anyhow, day after day went by, and every chance that pig got, the farmer looked out and he was in the mud. Well, he'd bring him in, he'd clean him up, he'd fix him up, he'd go over the rules with him. Finally, in desperation, the farmer thought, "There's only one thing I can do with this pig." Shot him dead right on the spot. Boom. Killed him. Then he did something very unusual. He opened the pig up, and he went and got a little lamb out of the flock, live lamb. And he put the lamb... This is not a true story for anybody. I made it up, okay? So don't worry. If your children are here, it's okay. It's all right. See? So he opened, and he put the lamb inside the pig, sewed him back up. Now, at this point in the story, things begin to change. So the pig doesn't want to play in the mud anymore. He's a lamb. Now, he's got a lamb's heart, a lamb's life inside the pig. And so he might fall and get muddy, but he wants to get cleaned up as soon as he can. The other pigs began to look at this pig, and they go, "Strange way this pig is acting." They said, you don't want to play with us in the mud anymore." Pig didn't play with them. Matter of fact, they started criticizing him. And they said, "You're not even a real pig anymore, are you?" And he went, "Oink," you know. So, this is a fictitious story, but I hope it will illustrate a point. The subject that the elders gave me for today is the subject of sanctification. Now, that's a big, long, double-jointed word that mostly theologians use, but we're going to bring it down into the mud today, and we're going to talk about what that really means. I hope that this fictitious, unbelievable story will give you some reference point as to what happens to a person when Jesus Christ comes in to live in their life. A spotless lamb living in the heart and the life, and I dare say even the body of a sinner. And at that point, things radically change for that person. I've told it everywhere I've gone, so I probably have told it to you, but on August the 29th, 1970, 9 o'clock in the morning, Jesus Christ stepped in to my life. I had dug a hole so deep I couldn't get out, and the Lord jumped in that hole with me and said, "Son, you follow me and I'll get you out of here." That is what attracted me. An emptiness, a hole in my heart. A few weeks ago, I don't know if you know Mike Atwood. He lives down in Missouri now, Brandon, Missouri, I think. Mike Atwood and I had some gospel meetings down in the Waterloo area, an assembly called Heidelberg Christian Fellowship down there. And I think it was on the Thursday night, I met with a fellow, we'll call him Leroy, that wasn't his name, but we'll call him Leroy. And Leroy stayed after and met with some of us. And I've experienced this, and maybe you have too. Might be an apple tree or a pear tree or some kind of plum tree or something. And the fruit is ripe, and you go to pick it and you just bump it and it falls. That's how ripe it is. It's ready. Well, Leroy was that ripe for the gospel. He had heard the gospel for several years, probably about 3 years. He had attended a lot of meetings. And when he sat down with one of the elders and myself, he said, "I've got a big hole in my heart." And he said, I don't know how to fix that. Could you help me fix that?" So I'm going to take just a moment to tell you the way I approach a situation like that, and maybe it will help some of you. And let me tell you in the beginning, the way that I approach this is not perhaps the normal way. And what I mean by that is sometimes when people say, "Oh, I need God, I need Jesus, I want to be saved, I want my sins forgiven," almost immediately, if you're not careful, you'll say, "Well, you need to ask Jesus into your heart." But I don't know where we get that verse. I'm struggling with that a little bit. Or we might say to them, "Now, you need to pray, and God will hear your prayers. You need to say the sinner's prayer, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner.'" And I know that people get saved by asking Jesus into their heart. I know that. I know that people get saved by saying the sinner's prayer. I know that. Legitimately, they do get saved. But you know, the Bible tells us to believe, to trust, to receive. And so I said to Leroy, he said to me, "I don't know how to do it." And I said, "Well, let me encourage you here." So I opened the scriptures and I said to him, "You know, now the Bible says that you're a sinner and that you've offended a holy and a righteous God." I said, "Do you accept the testimony of Scripture, and will you agree with God that you're a sinner?" He said, "Oh yeah, I know that." Do you also agree with the Bible and agree with God that the wages of sin is death?" He said, "Well, yeah." I said, "Do you know what that means?" "Well, you know, death, like you die, you know." I said, "Well, that's true. Physical death is involved. But the wages of sin is also spiritual death. Because in the Bible, everywhere you see the word death, anywhere, beginning to the end, anywhere, you can always substitute this word, separation. Death is always separation. It might be the body from the soul and spirit. We call that physical death. It might be the body and the soul and the spirit separated from God. We call that spiritual death. It might be the body and soul and spirit separated from God for all of eternity. We call that eternal death, but it's always separation. So the wages of sin is death, eternal separation from God. I said to you, will you accept that? Do you believe that? He said, yes, I do. I said, well, would you also believe that God sent his Son into the world to save sinners? Would you believe that Jesus died on a cross for you, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day? He said, yes, I do. I said, now, wait a minute. I want to be sure about this. Do you believe that Jesus died in your place? He said, yes. Do you believe that he was buried? He said, yes. Do you believe that he rose again from the dead? And before he could say yes, I go, wait a minute. Dead people don't get up. The Bible says God raised him from the dead on the third day. I want you to think about that. He said, I believe it. I said, okay. So you tell me you know you're the sinner. Yeah. That you believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for you. You accept he did it for you. Not for me, not for him, but just for you. Yes, I do. I said, okay, now I'm going to invite you. Okay, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3. John's Gospel chapter 3. This is what I asked Leroy to do. I said, let's look at a Bible verse. Last verse in John chapter 3. Okay, John's Gospel chapter 3. I said, Leroy, now you read this verse for me. So Leroy read this verse, and this is what he read. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. I said, stop right there. I said, Leroy, do you have everlasting life? He said, yes, I do. I said, oh, what makes you think you have everlasting life? I said. He said, because this verse said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he said, I believe in what Jesus did for me, and I have everlasting life. Now watch something. He didn't pray. He didn't ask Jesus into his heart. His salvation is not depending on an emotional experience he had somewhere, walking an aisle, and play just as I am one more time. I'm not against that. I know it happens. It's real. It can happen. But his salvation is not dependent on that. His salvation does not depend on whether he asked Jesus into his heart the right way or not. People are plagued with that for years in their life. Oh, I wonder if I said it right. His salvation depends on what the Bible says. He accepted what Jesus did for him, and God says, you got eternal life. First thing he said after that, after he said, yes, I do, he said, I don't have a hole in my heart anymore, he said. Folks, that is salvation. Someone said, well, you've got to confess with your mouth. What about people who can't talk? What about people who lay in there in a coma, but they can hear and they can think, but they can't move and they can't talk? You see, confession with the mouth is evidence that you've already believed in the heart. If you don't believe in the heart, you can ask Jesus into your heart till you go fuzzy. That won't save you. It is the attitude of your heart. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to pray a prayer, but you must understand that Christ took your place, and he's your only hope. If it doesn't work to trust Christ, to believe that he did it, if that doesn't work, you don't have plan B. That's the only plan I got. It all depends on Jesus. The reason I tell you that story is because in the last 40 years, I've heard so many stories of people who probably are really saved, but they have no confidence. They have no security. They're looking back and they go, well, I don't know if I really did it right. I don't know if I said it right. If you've got Jesus in your heart, that's all that matters, folks. Don't worry about the prayers. Don't worry about the atmosphere. Don't worry about the song. Don't worry about the emotions. The day I believed in the Lord Jesus, I said a prayer because a man told me to. I don't know exactly what I said. I don't remember. Something like, Jesus, if you really are the Son of God and you really did die on a cross for me to give me a new life and whatever. I don't know all this stuff, okay? I just said, I'm in. Like, I don't know what to do. I was just like, I accept it. I believe it. I don't know how to say it. But that day, Christ stepped in to an old sinner's life and changed it. That's sanctification. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and he says, I'm an apostle, listen to it, verse 1, separated under the gospel of God. Separated under the gospel of God. Okay. The word separated, sanctified, holy, saints, are all the same thing. It means to be set apart. It means, for instance, Peter puts it like this, and he quotes from the Old Testament, God is speaking to the nation of Israel, and God says, you be holy because I'm holy. Now, that'd be awful difficult if we make holy perfect. If we make holy perfect, we say, God said, now be perfect because I'm perfect. We go, I don't have a prayer. I'm never going to be perfect. Can't be perfect. But if God says, instead of using the word holy, if I said, you be separated like I'm separated. You don't live like that anymore. You're different. You come out from among them and be separate like I've come. My son is holy, harmless, undefiled. Are you listening? Separate from sinners. Something is going on here. Okay? And let me also encourage you that this being set apart, Paul says, I'm set apart unto the gospel. Separated unto the gospel. Okay, think about this. If you're separated to something, you're separated from something. Some of you got chocolate bars today. I wouldn't mind if my birthday was right now, too. I'd get one. Here's a Mr. Big. And here's another thing right here. I'm going to take one of these candy bars. Okay. I'm going to separate it, put it over here. Now, hang in here with me, okay? I just sanctified this candy bar. I set it apart for special use. I separated it from all the other candy bars, okay? Now, for an illustration, for special use. But when I separated it to use as an illustration, I separated it from the rest of these candy bars. Imagine God, I would like to keep that one too. Imagine God taking a poor sinner, hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking him out of the world, separate him unto himself. bringing him into a right relationship with himself. So he is set apart, saved, listen to this, sanctified, set apart, okay? That's what the word means. The word saint, those who have been set apart. The word sanctified, those who have been set apart. The word holy, you've been set apart. Now, there are stages of this, or there are categories of sanctification. For instance, what we call positional. You say, what is that? Positional sanctification. Oh, what is that? Well, it kind of goes like this. Before I knew the Lord, I was in the world, Broadway, going down to hell. Everybody else, we're marching, okay. And by the grace of God, I hear the gospel. I respond in faith and by grace, of course. And I trust Christ as my Savior. Now watch this. Taken from my old position, which is on the broad road headed down to hell, taken from that position now, taken, and the Bible is very clear about this, put into a new position. Over there, Adam is the head of the fallen race. Over here, Jesus is the head of the body of Christ, the church. And I get placed into, 1 Corinthians 12:13, baptized by the Spirit, placed into the body of Christ. Now, I don't feel that. I didn't experience that. I don't even know that happens to me until I start reading the Bible. Positional sanctification. Set apart for God, set apart from my old position, which was a sinner separated from God. Positional. And then you got what we call practical. Everyday. Okay. I'm not living over there anymore. Oh, I'm the same guy. I'm in the same body. I don't look the same because I'm getting old now. But anyhow, it happens to everybody. It's okay. Don't fight it. Just let it go. All right? Just enjoy it. That's all you can do. Just enjoy it. Okay. So, but I'm in the same body. I got the same image, language. That is my the way you hear me. Okay, my voice. But something has happened. I'm not the same person because something's transferred on the inside. I got Christ living in me now. We sang that hope of glory. Okay. Now, since I'm a Christian now, and since Christ lives in me, we'd say in Mississippi, when Christ lives in you, he naturally expresses himself. You ever meet someone, they say they're Christian, but there's no evidence? Oh, I got saved when I was 3. I asked Jesus into my heart. That's what they say. I don't know. God's the judge. But for the next 30 years, they're in their 30s now, and there's no evidence. Okay? So there needs to be like some evidence, okay? Not for me, but for themselves. They can't just keep saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, but there's no evidence. So if you are positionally in Christ, there's going to be evidence now. Christ is going to work out of your hands and work out of your mouth and work out of your feet. I'm not going to act like I acted. I'm not going to talk like I talked. I'm not going to go where I was. I'm not going to think like I used to think, my goals, my ambitions, my desires, and I'm working on my position. I'm in Christ, and I start working on my position. That is, I start working on this life of being set apart. And you know what? You grow in that. You develop in that. Just like a newborn babe, they grow up. They learn to walk. They learn to talk. They learn to feed themselves. They learn. That's what practical sanctification is all about. You ought to be more set apart from God today, practically, than you were last year. I looked on my date book, and it was November the 25th, 5th, last year, I was here, right here. Same platform, same pulpit, right here. But I should be more set apart to God. No, not my position. I'm in Christ. I'm there. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Jesus in me, and I'm in Jesus. John 14, it's all happening, okay? But I should grow in holiness. I should grow in my sanctification. I should be able to look back and say, I don't do that anymore. I don't live like that anymore. I don't talk like that. We're never going to be absolutely perfect here, but we're to grow in sanctification. So we got positional, and we kind of got practical, that we need to grow in this thing, need to walk in the light as he is in the light. And then one day, are you ready for this? We're going to be permanently sanctified forever. Because Jesus is coming. And when Jesus comes, we're going to be like him. We're going to see him as he is. And it's going to be a wonderful day, because we're going to be taken out of the world. And this position that we have been in since we've been saved, we've trusted the Lord, and our growing sanctification is going to come into fulfillment, and we're going to be like Jesus. And that'll be a great day. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Let me give you a little encouragement. If you don't work on, you're in Christ, if you don't work on practical sanctification, you ready? You listen? You're going to have radical surgery when Jesus comes. I mean, it's just like you're going to have to take a big step. He got the hammer and chisel, and he's working on you now, conforming you to the image of his son. Don't resist that. Let him do that. You should want to do that. You should want to honor your position in Christ and Christ in you. But if you refuse that, if you ignore that, if you don't develop, if you don't grow in holiness, one day, let me tell you, it's just like, whoa! It's like Lot, you know, trying to warn his, whoever they were, sons-in-laws or to-be sons-in-laws. You remember the angels came and they said, this is not going to be a good place to live anymore. Like, you better, like, get out of here right now, because fire and judgment is coming. And so Lot says to his sons-in-laws, he says, we better, like, get out of here, because, and they said, who are you to tell us about God and judgment? Because he'd never lived like it. His daughters take him out. You remember that? Get him drunk. That was a bad night. They would have never offered him a drink unless they'd seen him drunk before. They said, why would he? Well, he won't take a drink. He didn't live. He's here, but he didn't live the sanctified life. You ever try to witness to someone and they go, you're a Christian? That's what I'm talking about. Practical sanctification. Not with your nose in the air, not with I'm better than you attitude and you're just, no. Just living for Christ. Just exemplifying Christ. If someone said, I wish I knew my Bible like you know your Bible, you go, wow, that's a great compliment. You know, I wish I could witness like you witness. You go, good, pretty good witness. The greatest compliment you could ever get is someone say, you remind me of Jesus. That's God's goal. That's our goal. To be like Christ. Positional, working on it, living up to my position. Okay, one day he's coming and that's going to be reality forever and ever. Well, that was my introduction. How to do? We didn't get down to the message yet. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. They did tell me that I could take a few more minutes. A few more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You got to read your audience. So far, you're not doing too bad, okay? As soon as more than one of you go to sleep, one's already done that, but as soon as more than one of you go to sleep, you know, cut it down, cut it off, you know. You're losing them, okay? All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just a verse for now. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is, notice the language, in Christ, he, they, she, him, okay, older, young, is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, just the first part. Now, all things are of God. The reason I read the first few words of the next verse is that some people have a change, but the change is not of God. It's religion did it. You know, you take a guy, I mean, nobody likes for people to be addicted to drugs or alcohol or pornography or it doesn't matter, just bad things. Okay, nobody, you shouldn't do that. Okay, that's bad. And sometimes people come along and they have a guilt complex. Nobody else in the family is like me, and I'm the black sheep, and I got to do something, so they go to church. But they go to church to a church that doesn't tell them the truth. Just says, join the choir and come in and come to church and everything's going to be okay. And they try and they try. And a few of them, listen to me, a few of them, actually, it works. They shake it. The alcoholic has shook it. He went to AA and went to church and whatever. It worked. You know, he's never trusted Christ. This is the point. The drug addict went to a place and they gave him some help and they worked on it, and a year later they're clean. But they haven't trusted Christ. And so we got to be careful that this new life is not just willpower. Not just, I'm accomplishing, finally I beat it. I beat the habit. See, the only difference between the alcoholic and the person who is now freed from that addiction is that one goes to hell drunk and the other goes to hell sober. I hope you get that point. It is not these problems. You got to go deeper. You've got to get inside where things really happen. You can dress a pig up on the outside. But you can't change their heart. God works from the inside out. So the new things, notice, now all things are of God. That's the context, verse 17. We've got new things. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So in that verse, we've got the position. Okay, watch this. I was over here, sinner, separated from God. Over here, I'm in Christ now. I'm in Christ, okay? Got a new position now, okay? That's position. But then old things have passed away. In God's book, Lamb's Book of Life, got your name in there. Everything's good. I'm good to go. Now, I need to work on it. I need to live up to my old things have passed away. All things have become new. There is a sense in which I, listen, work out my salvation, not work for my salvation. I hope you can make the difference. Okay, so here's our text. And like my watch is not the same time as that one. It's amazing. And I think mine's right with, you know, God. So I won't hold you, but I do want to set the stage for tonight, because tonight is better than this morning. I can only tell you that, okay? If you can hang in here this morning, you won't be disappointed tonight. Okay. Watch this now. There are three things immediately in this verse that I need to think about. First of all, in verse 17, there's a condition to be met if anyone is in Christ. There's a condition to be met. Secondly, there is a conversion to be experienced. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. There is a conversion. You know, you hear a lot about commitment. I don't know where we come up with this stuff. Let's talk about conversion, not commitment. You know, somebody says, I need help. I know I'm in trouble. You know, you need to make a commitment to Jesus. Why don't we just use biblical terms? Why do we make up stuff? Okay? Matter of fact, the Lord Jesus himself talked about it. And then in Acts 13, we read these words. You did it in ignorance, but now God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, listen to this, and be converted. That's what we need. We need conversions. We need repentance and conversions. We'll talk a little more about that tonight. And not only a condition to be met, not only a conversion to be experienced, but we need a new creation to be realized. One night, and a little, it wasn't even a one-horse town. They didn't even have a horse. This town is so small, they only had one city limit sign, and they rode on both sides. Okay, you got that? And I'm preaching there that night. And the guy that got up, he said, I ain't much, but I ain't what I was, he said. And he said, let's sing Amazing Grace. A new creation to be lived out. Okay. So if you come back tonight, and I hope you will, everybody comes for supper, right? Like most people like supper. I'd like to continue on with this thought, but before I pray and let you go this morning, are you there? Like, do you have confidence? Could you say this morning, I used to be over there, but by the grace of God, I'm over here. And I'm not what I was. I'm different. I haven't reached it yet. Paul said, I've not apprehended that for which I've apprehended yet. Paul said, I'm running the race. I'm working on it. But I know I'm in Christ. Do you know you're in Christ? We're going to talk about this tonight. How do you get in there? How do you know you're in there? What are some of the reasons we need to know that? And we want to talk about positional and practical setting apart. Matter of fact, if you wanted to, I'm not telling you you should or anything, but if you wanted to, you could call me Saint Joe if you wanted to. Because I am set apart. I am sanctified. I do belong to the Lord. Let's pray. Father, how nice of you to make it so simple for us that we don't have to read theology books or go to Bible school or seminary, but your spirit bears witness with our spirit. And I know, Father, in this room this morning, that those who are in Christ, your spirit could bear witness with them that they are in Christ. And if they don't have that confidence, we're praying today that they just might remember the story of Leroy. He said, yes, I'm a sinner. And I know that's serious because it separates me from God. And I do accept that Jesus died for me and rose again the third day. And I do know I have eternal life because that's what God says. I pray that might just happen this morning. in the quietness of someone's heart, that they'll change positions this morning and start on this great journey of progressive sanctification through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.